Throughout our history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
You missed it, Rob.
Oh, sorry, I'm just buying the headphones.
Rob doesn't like wearing the headphones, so he just turns them on to hear his own intro and then takes them off again just to do the segment.
Rob's got a Google image open of some disgusting thing.
What is it?
He's just turned it over.
Okay.
It's a
like
secret.
An insect of some sort.
I really love to thank the listener that put me into this. It's like loads of nice little things for me to look
fillers.
At. Fillers. Yeah, what I call fillers, I can go bish, bash, bosh, have a bit of a giggle, you know.
Bish, bash, bosh.
Anyway, right, we talked about this off air, so you don't know what we're talking about. The most cups of cappuccino made in 1 hour by barista Lisa Thomas at the Bribby Island RSL in Bongaree in Queensland.
This is absolute goals for me.
In 2018, have a guess how many she made in an hour.
420.
You're joking me. Have you looked?
No. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Oh, what? What? Is that right? What were the chances?
Well, no. I've just done a David
Blaine
there. Or
did
Blaine
I take your joke there?
Yeah, you might have. I don't know.
Sorry,
that's
Rob.
Actually one every 7 seconds.
One every seven
Wait, so
seconds?
Hang on. I just want to clarify. It was 420 coffees.
See, I wrote it down.
Within the hour.
Yeah, in an hour.
What are the chances of you having guessed that?
I thought that's a bit moody. 420, you know, 419, 421, 420.
You were like, oh, that's a bit funny.
Okay, wait, hang on. I just need to wrap my head around this. She made 420 coffees in 1 hour.
Yeah, at one every 7 seconds, cappuccino.
How do you do that? You have to froth the milk and
yeah, I'd love to know what the rules were.
Thingy,
yeah.
You know?
Like how much milk you could froth. I can never say that properly.
Froth. It sounds just like what I do.
Yeah, it's hard,
it's glad
it?
When you talk proper.
How much milk you can froth at one time.
Yeah.
For the cappuccino.
So you obviously like, have a lot of production
seconds,
line going.
Does one every 7 seconds mean that she had to steam
the
milk
every 7 seconds?
Does
the coffee have to taste good? That's the other
well,
question.
Well, the thing is, right, it was going for a world record. They were giving them away to everybody in the cafe and she did it under so much pressure as well.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking, her boss must have been thinking, do you want to slow down a bit now?
I wonder.
Because how much is a cappuccino?
$4.50, well, something, $5.10,
so
depends how big
like
it is.
That's like $1,600 or something.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And
But she's won a world record, and here we are talking about it, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to fill her bosses too, isn't it? Really? Do you know what I mean? Right, that's that one. Now, that disgusting picture. Scientists revealed... they've identified a new species of beetle with an antenna that resembles braided hair. It's been named Nelatapus greater. In honour of Greta Thunberg.
Oh, really?
Wait, so this is quite a recent new beetle.
Last year, October the 25th.
Kind of looks like a cockroach, right? I thought so.
Oh, there
you
go.
Don't you think that looks like a
cockroach? Right, pass this weird photo around. I want to see it.
Looks like a cockroach, an ant mixed between a cockroach, maybe.
See, when you said it was a disgusting-looking bug, I wasn't sure what I was looking for here.
I just screenshot it.
Right, I wasn't expecting to see that.
You really cracked it if you have something named after
it.
It
just looks like a little termite or something, but it does look like it's got braided antenna. That's quite funny.
You've got a segment, The Mind Trench with Rob Bollocks. It's named after you.
That's not my real name. Sorry, spoiler alert and all that. Okay.
So... why have they named it after Greta Thunberg?
Because of it looks like a braided hair. I didn't get that at all.
Is
I think the geezer who done it, Michael Darby, no, they named it after it because its hair looks like it's braided.
Is it meant to be like a
So it looks like
homage.
Her braided hair. Yeah, homage.
Homage. Is it meant to be a nice thing?
Well, I think this bloke, Michael Darby, who named it...
It sounds a bit sus, too.
He was so impressed with her. I think he wanted to do something.
Well, that's quite sweet.
I mean, he could have sent her a card or something or whatever, but...
I think it's lovely gesture. However, if I was named after
I would
this
rather not have
because of a similarity or something. My hair is similar to
my
this
hair
insect.
Reminds
I'd be
someone of a beetle.
Somewhat offended.
Yeah.
Would you not?
Oh well, that's I was going to get you that for next Christmas.
Oh well, Rob.
This is kind of like the scientific equivalent of giving somebody a goat for Christmas. You know, you can like,
oh, you're a chicken.
Buy you a goat. Yeah, or like buy you a here's a pot of honey for a bear in a reserve or something like that.
Yeah.
Lovely presents, but also a bit like, I could have done with a block of chocolate.
I just feel
or
like they shouldn't have said anything.
Can I have my phone back now? You're freaking mute.
I feel you on a like, scroll on something.
I feel like they could have named it after her, which would have been lovely, but not mention the resemblance of the braid. Because that
But then why would you
name it after?
I didn't think I'd get this much time out of this one little piece.
I'm just questioning the intentions behind it. I hope it's just a lovely, you know, the scientists supporting Greta. Yeah. Let's go with that.
I think it's brilliant. Right, okay. This is research. Why the hell did they bother? Department.
Okay.
Why did they bother researching this?
Rob's favourite.
In 2018, researchers found out that the smell of chocolate in a bookstore makes people want to buy romance novels.
Wow.
Because
that is a bit of
This is American, right? So they're all a bit nuts anyway.
Sorry to any Americans.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that in a general, just like the bloke in charge. But anyway. Do you find that?
I'd love to know how long they spent on that as well.
Yeah.
This is, why did you bother? Another one.
What did they work out, like, the correlation was between those two? Did they work out why chocolate makes people...
Well, I don't know. What do? Do you just sit there, like, with a big bowl of chocolate, like, melting,
shaking
it all about? Another one showed the beneficial effects of electric fans in extreme heat.
Are there some?
Well, of course there are. Because it's blowing air about. Like, why did you bother that? And...
You're right, Rob.
It makes me angry.
People get funding to do this kind of research.
Why snowblower use declines in summer?
Say again?
This is American game. Why does snowblower use decline in summer?
Yeah, that one's a bit
summer silly.
There's no snow.
Yeah,
are you serious? Where did you get this? This isn't...
I might tell lots of lies in my private life, but I never do on here, all right?
Everything is fact.
This is all 100% kosher.
That's insane.
Somebody has texted in to say that they think the bug is like the equivalent of a scientific Oscar for lifetime achievement,
That is fantastic. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, it's a good one. Thank you, listener.
Right, now, Valentine's Day.
Okay, you've been waiting to get to this.
Now, I'd never really given this much thought because I don't really have much to do with it. And I thought it was like a Hallmark holiday thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone sort of made it up and went to sell a load of cards. But like most of the celebratory things we do, it started off with the Romans.
Okay.
They had it and it was called Lupercalia Festival. And it was held in mid-February and celebrated the coming of spring, including fertility rites and the pairing of men and women by lottery.
Ooh.
A bit like Married at First Sight and Love Island when you think about it. Have we learnt nothing?
No, clearly not.
We obviously haven't.
We have not.
Then that got phased out in about the 5th century. Oh, hang on. And Christianity started kicking at this point, right?
Okay.
Yay, well. And then Pope Gallius replaced Lupercalia with St. Valentine's Day. Now, no one's really sure who Valentine was because there was quite a few martyrs called Valentine.
Right.
At the time. There was one, this one sounds a bit creepy. He was martyred about 270 AD by the Emperor Claudius. According to legend, the priest signed a letter from your Valentine to his jailer's daughter, who he had befriended, and by some accounts had healed her from blindness.
Okay.
Or, I reckon it was this one here, actually. St. Valentine of Terni, a bishop who went against the emperor's orders and secretly married couples to spare the husbands from war because the emperor's edict decreeing married soldiers do not make good warriors.
Well, he sounds like quite a nice man.
So he sounded quite a good one.
Before his time.
Right,
as
this was going on, I want you to check something for me as I tell you this. Around the same time, the Normans celebrated Galantine's Day, which is spelt G-A-L.
You want me to check the spelling?
Yeah. No, it's the OG Galantine's Day.
G-A-L-A-T-I-N-S. Galantine's Day.
G-A-L-A-N-S.
No, there's no A. Well, yeah.
Well, you asked me to check and I'm
telling you. G-A-L-A-T-I-N-S. Good radio.
This is great. I hope everybody's spelling is really up to shod here.
Well, after all that, I actually couldn't find it on Google.
Because you spelt it wrong.
No, I didn't. I got it straight out of the thing, right?
But I've got it here.
But what I did get was Galentine's Day.
Yes.
Which, as we all know, my favourite all-time TV character, the amazing Leslie Knope, made that up.
Yeah.
Which is the 13th, which is tomorrow. And this is a quote from her, and that's a day.
I didn't realise it was the 13th.
That's a day for ladies celebrating ladies.
Good old Leslie Knope. Really,
I love Leslie Knope so much.
I haven't watched Parks and Rec for ages. Maybe it's my weekend.
Eventually, St. Valentine's and Galentine's Day, they were so similar, they joined up, and it wasn't really truly solidified with love until Geoffrey Chaucer came along.
Ah!
In 1340, whatever the time it was, and he wrote this beautiful, beautiful love poem, and from then Shakespeare got involved, and
Chaucer wrote so many beautiful things, and then he wrote all this really bawdy, coarse, you know.
But was that Pilgrim's Progress?
Yeah. Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah.
NCEA Level 1 English.
And then eventually Hallmark took over and then game over. So there you go with it.
There we go.
So it's been going on for years.
Galentines, you know, Galentines, Valentines.
People have a lot of opinions on Valentine's Day, though. It's really like you.
I personally don't like it because of something that happened to me when I was younger and it scarred me for life. When it comes to that.
And lots of people, like, I've always been like, Valentine's.
I got a joke Valentine's card when I was at school.
Oh,
and
everybody
but me thought it was funny. And then that was just it after that.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Picture of a Skellington. Yeah.
Oh,
Rob, that's
Rob,
genuinely
that's awful.
So.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a song so I can give you a hug. That was great, though. Thank you.
Wow, that's really, yeah.
Which
that's
like a
really
will.
Awful. I'm really, like, who was that?
That's why I am like I am now.
Let's find that person.
Yeah. I tried, didn't I? I have tried.
A little bit of
followed
everything.
Followed them over here, then lost them.
A little bit of everything on the Mind Trench this morning. Got heartbreak, intrigue, Beatles, and plenty more. And if you've got a good topic you think Rob could look up
please.
For you,
I could do
text it through to 53955 or give us a call on 309 3879. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bullocks, only on 95 BFM.